What should you do when you're trusting Jesus, seeking God, battling sin, but you've lost any sense of God's presence in your life? What should you do at those times? Feels like God is far from you, like the joy that you have had in the Lord before it's shrunk, it's almost gone. How should you respond at times like that? Every believer will experience times like that, and it's painful. It's hard. And you try to paint a picture as to why. Think about it like this. Because Jesus died on the cross and to pay for our sins and then rose from the dead to prove that his death paid for our sins, because he's done that, when you turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ, God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It means many different things, but one is that God pours his love into your heart through the Holy Spirit. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 4. He pours his love into your heart. And you experience the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, testifying with your spirit that you are a forgiven child of God. That's Romans 8, verse 16. As you're opening up the scriptures and reading, the Holy Spirit's helping you see and feel the wonder of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, the glory of Christ, and the joy that you experience when you put your trust in Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, is better than any joy you've ever had by a long shot. It's beautiful. And we wish that that kind of experience would continue through our whole Christian life here on the earth, just the same. But it doesn't. In heaven it will, yes, without stopping. It'll continue forever. It'll be glorious. But the scriptures are clear that in this life, we have times when it fades, it diminishes. We will definitely experience it in varying degrees. Again, it's not like we've lost it. But there will be many times again and again when it's like the Lord lifts his felt presence off of us. That can last for short periods of time, which aren't too difficult. We pray, seek the Lord. Or it can last for longer periods of time, or as we see described in this psalm, it can last for quite lengthy periods of time. And those can be very discouraging to us and difficult for us. So what should we do when that happens? God has given us Psalm 13 to show us what to do. Psalm 13 is a prayer that David prayed when he was going through a time like that. You might think, well, that's nice that that's what David prayed. What does it have to do with me? Well, remember, the book of Psalms is part of God's prayer book, song book for all of God's people. So he wants all of us to be praying Psalm 13. He wants you to be praying Psalm 13. So what exactly was David praying about in Psalm 13? From what Len just read to us, it's clear that David's going through struggle. He's going through difficulty here, but what was the struggle? What was the difficulty? Some think that he was sick and maybe even facing death, because he does mention the word death in that psalm. It's possible. Others that he had enemies he was facing that wanted to harm him or maybe even kill him, and enemies are mentioned in that psalm. That's possible as well. And the psalms are written in very general terms, so they have wide application to many different situations and scenarios. So it'd be helpful to pray this psalm if you're sick or if you've got enemies that are seeking to harm you. This psalm would be helpful in those situations. But as I studied this psalm, I think there's another situation, another scenario of what David is facing here that's even more clear in this passage. I hope to persuade you of that tonight. It's that David was struggling with a sense of God's absence. He felt like God had left him, had abandoned him. He wasn't feeling God's love, God's nearness, God's care as he had before. David was struggling with that. And he prays this prayer, which I pray will fill each of us with hope if you're in that setting right now or when you do face something like that. that you'll turn to Psalm 13, pray Psalm 13, and let the Lord meet you in Psalm 13. So let's start by asking, how does David describe his problem? Let's dig into the text. And to answer that, let's look at verses 1 and 2. Let me read them again for you. Listen to what David is dealing with. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Four times, David asks, how long? Now, we all have times, maybe shorter, where we're not sensing God's nearness as much, and we press through, we pray, and God meets us. But it seems like David's been going through whatever he's struggling with here for a long time. Four times. How long? How long? There's something that David was longing for God to do. He was desiring for God to do, and God hadn't done it yet. He's saying, Lord, how long? Then David asks, will you forget me forever? It feels like God has forgotten him. Do any of you feel like God has forgotten you? He felt like God had abandoned him, like God no longer cares for him. And so he asks, will you forget me forever? Then David asks, how long will you hide your face from me? Now, what does that mean? That's a very important line in this psalm. This has shaped my understanding of what David's dealing with. How long will you hide your face from me? The Bible talks about God lifting his face up to us, shining his face upon us. The Bible uses that language often, and it can mean at least two things. One, it can mean God changes your circumstances, like getting you a job or healing your disease or removing your enemies, like Psalm 31 15 and 16 uses that phrase, God shining his face upon us in that way. So it can mean God changing our circumstances. It also can mean God giving us joy in his presence. That's what I think it means here. I'll point out some of my reasons as we go through this. It can also mean God giving us joy in his presence. Let me give you an example of that. Psalm chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Listen to what David writes there. He says, he's talking to the Lord, there are many who say, who will show us some good? And then David says to the Lord, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. That's the good that we need. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. So can you see that here, when David talks about God lifting up the light of his face upon us, that phrase can also mean God helping us see and feel his love, his nearness, his majesty, and that fills us with joy. And notice that the joy God gives us in his presence is more joy than they have when their grain and wine abound. So this isn't just the joy of changed circumstances, a little more grain, a little more wine. No, this is a very different kind of joy. This is the joy of God's felt presence, which is far more joy than any changed circumstance can bring us. So I'm trying to help you see that this phrase, God shining his face upon us, God lifting his face upon us, can mean change of circumstances, but I think in this case it means God giving us joy in his presence. So with that in mind, look back at the end of verse 1, Psalm chapter 13, back to Psalm 13. David asks, how long will you hide your face from me? So there's times when God shines his face upon us, giving us the joy of his presence. And there's also times when God hides his face from us. There's times when we're seeking him, but God in his love and in his mercy hides his face from us. He hasn't stopped loving us. He's not punishing us. He's not abandoned us. But there are times when he lifts his presence from us. That's what David's talking about here, I think, when he says, "How long will you hide your face from me? How long?" Okay, then David asks, we're asking, what's David's problem? What's he describing here? Then he asks, "How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day?" He's missing God's counsel, God's leading, something he's confused about, troubled about. He's sorrowing in his heart over God's felt absence, as I think what's going on here. And then the last, "How long," is, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" I think what's going on here is when our hearts are full of the Lord, when you're sensing his love for you, the joy of beholding Christ, when your heart is full of the love of the Lord, then you feel strong towards your enemies, whether it's sin or Satan or some person. There's a strength that's in your heart regarding your enemies when you're full of the Lord. But when you're lacking that sense of God's presence, when your heart feels empty and weak, it's easy to feel like, oh, my enemies are being exalted over me. Any of them could snuff me out at any time. And that's what David's asking here. Lord, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now, with those thoughts in mind, let's read verses 1 and 2 again. And I want you to get a sense of what David is dealing with here. Verses 1 and 2. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" That's what David's experiencing. And that's what every follower of Jesus will experience from time to time. Sometimes for just short periods, sometimes for a little longer periods, and sometimes periods where we're saying, "How long, Lord?" We can call this times in the spiritual desert, times in the wilderness. There's very different phrases Christians have for this, but every follower of Jesus will face this at times. And this raises an important question. I would guess that some of you are thinking, that's got to be because David's sinning. Surely the reason God would do this is because David's sinning. David's not really walking in the center of God's will. David's not really seeking the Lord, right? Surely that's why this is happening. So let's ask, why is David experiencing this? Why? And to answer that, I wanted you to jump down to verse 5. Look at verse 5. Here's what David says to the Lord. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." And we're going to come back to this important verse a little further on at the end. But for now, I want you to notice this is so important. David has trusted in God's steadfast love. He's been trusting God. He's been walking with God. He's been battling temptation. He's been seeking God. So the reason David is feeling far from God is not because of any sin in David's life. David's been trusting God's steadfast love. Do you see that? There's no hint in this psalm that there is any sinfulness that David's clinging on to and holding on to. He's been trusting God's steadfast love. And this teaches a crucial truth. Remember, I said we'd all love it if that powerful experience of the Holy Spirit just continued on through our Christian life. Like if you're a real Christian, you'll always be feeling God's presence in that way. That's just not true, friends. You'll have times in the book of Acts, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit over here. And then chapter later, Peter's filled with the Spirit again. What was happening in between? Well, he wasn't as filled. It's just the reality of the Christian life. And it's important that we understand this. This is something we do experience and go through. Psalm 13 shows that there are times in our lives, some can be short, some can be medium, some can be how long, Lord, that there are times in our lives when we are trusting Christ, seeking God, walking in His will, and God in His love and his mercy lifts his felt presence from us for a time. Why? Why would God do that? If God loves us, why? I think there's a number of reasons. Let me just share two reasons with you that I have found helpful. I hope you will as well. One is to humble us. Think about it like this. If every time we sought God, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me. There's just this beautiful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So you wake up this morning, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me. Beautiful outpouring. An hour later, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me. Beautiful outpouring. You're driving to work, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me. Unfortunately, in our pride, many of us would start to say, man, I can really pray. I'm really doing this spiritual thing. I pray and just like that. And so to humble us, there are times when we seek the Lord and God withholds his felt presence to remind us his presence is not under our control. And it is a merciful, blood-bought, gracious gift from our sovereign God that he loves to pour out, but there's times where he will withhold to humble us, and that's a precious gift from God because pride is deadly. That's one reason to humble us. Another reason is to give us even more joy in him. It's so that we will have even more joy down the road. You've all experienced this. Food tastes even better when you are hungry, right? Okay? You've been fasting for a day, and this like that little cracker. This is like, this is just the most amazing thing. Oh, never tasted a cracker like this. Where did we get this? Food tastes even better when you're hungry. And the Lord in his wisdom will lift his felt presence off of us for a time in order to give us even more joy when he pours it out upon us, which he loves to do. So two possible reasons to humble us and to give us even more joy in him. So understand what David's going through. He's going through one of those times when God's lifted his felt presence, and this is a long time. And there is no hint in this passage that this is because of sin in his life. He has trusted God's steadfast love. And God in his love is blessing him with a withdrawing of his felt presence. So how does David respond to this? God has Psalm 13 in our Bibles written by David, so we would learn how David responded, so we would respond this way when we go through those experiences. But first, just ask, how do you respond when that happens? What do you do? And I experienced this many, many times. It's easy to pull back from the Lord. It's easy to get discouraged, right? How do you respond? Let's look at how David responds. First of all, throughout Psalm 13, what's David doing? He's praying. What David does, he prays. Too often when we experience less of God's presence, we stop praying. It's like, why bother? I'm feeling far from God. We stop seeking God. We lower our expectations of God's not going to do anything. We think God's just not going to... What's this about his felt presence? That's past stuff or whatever. And then we can settle for those lower expectations that he's not going to do anything when I pray. But that's not what David does. David prays. When he lacks God's felt presence, he prays, and that's what I would encourage you to do. Think about it like this. We should all either be earnestly seeking the light of God's face, seeking God's face. We should all either be earnestly seeking the light of God's face, or we should be enjoying the joy of the light of God's face. But what we should not be doing is settling for not having the joy of the light of God's face. You understand that? We should all either be earnestly seeking for more of the joy of God's face shining on us, or we should be enjoying the light of the joy of God's face shining on us, but none of us should be settling for not having the joy of God's face shining upon us. Be like David, and when these times come, pray, and pray Psalm 13. Second, David humbly tells God how he's feeling. We could read verses 1 and 2 as David having an angry outburst against God. How long, O Lord? Are you going to forget me forever? What are you doing? We could hear this as anger against God. But I would encourage you to reconsider this idea of us being angry at God. When we're angry at God, we're saying, you're doing something wrong here. You're not being loving. And I would just appeal to you. Think about who God is. He has demonstrated his love for you. It's like we sang about tonight, by sending his son to the cross. His son to the cross. Costly love for the Father to send his son to the cross. He's demonstrated his love to us. And do we think that we know enough and are wise enough in light of that demonstration love to say, you're not being loving to me? I would appeal to you that no. Now, of course, God can handle your anger. That's not the problem. The problem is that anger is proud sin, friends. It's proud sin. God loves you. We do not know enough to accuse God of wrongdoing. And he's doing a wonderfully loving thing for us when these times come. Now, if you are angry, don't pretend you're not. He knows that too, right? So confess it as the sin that it is. Ask him to forgive you. So don't hear David's prayer here as an angry outburst. It's humbly acknowledging to God, telling God what he's dealing with. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? It's humble. Third, David asks God to consider and answer him. Have you ever prayed that? Father, would you consider and answer me? I'll bet many of us have never prayed that. I would like to encourage you and recommend that you do. Here's why. David is saying, Lord, consider me. In your mercy, think about me. Understand what I'm going through, Father. Now, David knows that God knows exactly what David's going through. God's thinking about David all the time. David has God's undivided attention, just like every one of us does, because God's God. He can do that. So David knows that God's considering him, but why would David then pray, consider me? I think it's because it strengthens his faith. I have found it strengthening my faith to say, Father, I'm struggling. Here's what I'm going through. Consider me. Answer me, Lord. And that's the second thing that David prays. Answer me. David knows that God's going to answer him. Why pray? Father, answer me. Answer my prayer. It's because when you pray that, it'll strengthen your faith that God will answer your prayer. So I would encourage you, pray, Father, consider me. Here's what I'm dealing with. Even though you know, just helps me to know that you know. And Father, answer me. I know that you're going to answer me, but it helps me, strengthens my faith to ask you to answer me. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Fourth, David asks God to light up his eyes. End of verse 3 and verse 4. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Light up my eyes. That is David's one request in this psalm. There's one thing David's asking God to do. Light up my eyes. This is one of the main reasons I think that this psalm is about David struggling with the sense of God's absence, not experiencing God's nearness, not experiencing God's presence. This is why. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me if David's dying from sickness, why his one request would be, light up my eyes. It's not obvious what the connection is there. Or if he's facing enemies, for him to say, light up my eyes. But if he's not experiencing the light of God's glory shining into his heart, lightening up his eyes with joy, it makes total sense why David would say, light up my eyes. I want to see you. I want to feel your beauty. I want to sense your glory and your majesty. Light up my eyes, Father. That's David's one request here. I thought about it like this. If you tell somebody, man, I've just got stomach pain. I've got stomach pain. Well, it all depends on what you're going to ask this person to do to know what's really going on. If you say, I've got stomach pain, give me some food. Oh, you're hungry. No problem. But it's like, I've got stomach pain, and I feel like I'm going to vomit and double over. I've got 110-degree temperature. There's a problem, okay? So what you are asking for will help understand what the real problem is, and what David's asking for here is, light up my eyes. Shine the light of your glory upon me again. I want to see your glory. I want to feel your presence. Come, meet me. And because that's what David's asking here. That's the one request he asks here. That's why I think this is David's main issue in this psalm, is this sense of God having lifted his felt presence from David. David's asking God to light up his eyes. Now, let me give you a passage that helped me understand this idea of lighting up eyes. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Remember, God is hiding his face from David, and so now David is asking, light up my eyes. He's asking God, make your face shine upon me. Do that, show me your glory, Lord, so that my eyes will be lit up with beholding you, lit up with joy in beholding you. Look at how Paul prays in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. I think Paul has Psalm 13 in mind when he writes this prayer in the letter of Ephesians. Here's what he's praying for believers. Paul's praying, he says, I pray that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. See what that's saying? Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. This is a prayer for God to give us, believers, the spirit of wisdom, which means that by the Spirit, we understand. We have wisdom into the truth of God's Word. By the Spirit, we have this wisdom of the truth of God's Word, spirit of wisdom, and a spirit of revelation, which means that by the Spirit, we will feel the truth of God's Word. See the truth, understand the truth, feel the truth, love the truth of God's Word. Spirit of wisdom and of revelation. And this is explained as having the eyes of our hearts enlightened so we will know, see and feel deeply. We'll know the hope to which he's called us, filled with hope. This is the hope he's called me to. And the riches of the glorious inheritance of heaven that we will receive for eternity. To know that, to see that, understand it, to feel that deeply. Oh, that's my destiny forever. Powerful. And I think that in Psalm 13, David's asking God to do Ephesians 1, 16 and 17 for him. So look back at Psalm 13, verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes and lighten the eyes of my heart. Give me the spirit of wisdom to understand the truth of your word and the spirit of revelation to help me feel and love the truth of your word. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Don't let me fall into spiritual death, Father. Light up my eyes. Show me your love. Show me your glory. Show me your reality. That's what David's praying here. How often do you ask God, light up my eyes? Light up my eyes. It's just like Psalm 119, 36, I think, or is it 18? One of those, either 18 or 36. Open my eyes to behold wonderful things from your law. Psalm 119. Let's all be praying this. Lord, light up my eyes. Light up my eyes. Show me your glory. Grant it, Lord. Fifth, David proclaims that he will again rejoice in God. Verses 5 and 6. These two verses are so powerful. Look where David ends as he's praying. Verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. No matter how David's feeling, no matter how long this sense of absence of God's presence has been going on, David is trusting God's steadfast love. Because those seasons can be short, God will meet us. It can be medium, God will meet us. They can be long, God will meet us. God will always meet us. And he's loving us through this whole process. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. So get it. No matter how David is feeling, he is trusting God's steadfast love. You are trustworthy. I can trust you. He knows my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I'm not going to be feeling this way forever. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation because you, in your steadfast love, have promised this. And you always keep your promises. I'm going to keep pressing in, keep persevering here. He knew his heart would once again rejoice in God's salvation. He knew God would deal bountifully with him. He knew that he would sing for joy in the Lord. No matter how he was feeling, he knew joy in God is coming. It's coming. It's coming. I'm not feeling it now, but it's coming. I've trusted in your steadfast love. Psalm 13, friends. So what is this psalm teaching us? There will be times, short times, medium times, maybe some long times, some how long times, when God lovingly, wisely, caringly lifts his felt presence from us, even though we're trusting Jesus, seeking the Lord, and in the very center of his will, because God loves us and he's going to bring us great good through that how long season. And we will come out of that how long season and thank him for that how long season because of what God's done. So what should we do at those times? Don't get angry at God. Don't turn from Jesus. Don't settle for not having God's felt presence. No. Keep seeking God. Pray, Psalm 13. Trust God's steadfast love. And you will, once again, and again, and again, and again, rejoice in God's salvation. You will. If you're in this season right now of a how long season, you will rejoice in God's salvation. You will. You will. The Word of God says, you will. Samuel Pierce. Let me tell you about Samuel Pierce, a pastor in England, 1700s. Wrote a journal, talked about a time when he was trying to pray, but his heart was dull, not feeling God's presence, struggling to pray. He was reading over God's word, but just like words, nothing was connecting. But he did not give up. He did not stop. He didn't say, I'll try again tomorrow. No, he kept going. He kept praying, kept reading, and then God answered. This is one of those short times, but it's a good lesson for us. Here's what he wrote in his journal. Oh, what a heavenly, glorious, melting power was it! Oh, what a view of the love of a crucified Redeemer did I enjoy! The attractions of his cross, how powerful. If ever in my life I knew anything of the influence of the Holy Spirit, I did at this time. I was swallowed up in God, hunger, fullness, cold, heat, friends and enemies, all seemed nothing before God. I was in a new world. All was delightful, for Christ was all and in all. So, friends, keep praying. Keep seeking. Trust God's steadfast love. You will once again rejoice in God's salvation. You will. Let's stand. Father, we pray for those now who are going through a time just like what David was experiencing, asking how long. Lord, let them know from this text, you love them, you care for them, you will be faithful to them. They can trust your steadfast love. All of your promises are true in Christ. They're forgiven through Christ. You're not angry at them, you love them. You will meet them. Strengthen them tonight. Strengthen them now, Lord, to keep pressing in. And then, Lord, we pray, open the heavens for them. Open the heavens for them and pour out your presence in a beautiful way, so much so that they would look back and say, thank you for the wilderness time. And Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts here tonight who've never tasted of your presence because they haven't come to faith in Jesus. And that what they've heard tonight would, oh, that they'd long for you. They'd long to be forgiven through Jesus. They'd long to know you. And Lord, that right now they would turn to you. Trust Christ. Receive Christ as their Savior, their Lord, their treasure, and that you would pour out the gift of the Holy Spirit upon them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.